Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So our text begins, and right after Jesus finished teaching his disciples to pray, someone in a crowd... Oh, wait a second. Nope, I got it wrong again. That's not exactly how our text starts. And yet, in my preparations, that's what it seems, because that's where we left off last week. If you happen to be with us last week, and if you didn't, that's okay. If you happen to be with us last week, that was what we focused on. Jesus teaching his disciples to pray. Today, we have jumped a whole chapter ahead in Luke's gospel. There's a lot of teaching, a lot of interactions that we have skipped over in our Sunday morning weekly readings. And yet, if this were the way it were written, I think it would be perfectly appropriate. That right after Jesus finished teaching his disciples about prayer, and in particular, a thing or two that we learned from Jesus' teaching last week, first and foremost, that who we pray to, the God of the universe, is not a distant, abstract God, but a heavenly Father. One who loves and cares for you and me deeply and knows fully what we need. This is the one that we pray to, the one who hears our prayers and answers our prayers according to his will and wisdom. And secondly, last week in Jesus' teaching his disciples then and now about prayer, that this Father who loves and cares does give good gifts. He has given his very own Son, Jesus Christ. He has poured out his Holy Spirit upon you and me, and he continues to give much, much more. Although this isn't actually the context for our reading in Luke, I feel like it could be an appropriate context. Why? Because that's what seems to be going on here. People who have been given much, much more than they need or deserve, than you or I need or deserve. And yet, the words of the man who comes to Jesus and the rich man in Jesus' parable seem to have forgotten this truth. Although this section is a whole chapter later in Luke's gospel, it almost seems like it could be part two to our reading last week. Because hopefully you and I realize, hopefully, as we learn from Jesus and those he's interacting with today, that we do not forget the Father. That we do not forget the one who has given us so many good gifts, and even much more than you and I need. Because our Father cares. Your Father loves. Yours and my Heavenly Father gives to us. This is the situation we find ourselves in. That's not to dismiss the things that you're still praying for. That's not to forget the struggles that you and I still have in life. But instead, it is a recognition of what we do have, of what we have been given. And it's a gratitude, a thanksgiving to God, our Heavenly Father. Whether you want to describe yourself or can describe yourself as blessed, as one who has been provided for plentifully, like the rich man's land, or, as some say, better than I deserve. Regardless of how you want to say it, I hope that you and I can recognize, even in the most difficult times, even in the rough and low points of life, that we have a Heavenly Father who cares, provides, and gives much more than we need. The challenge is what comes along with that. The challenge is that this blessing, this abundance, this plentiful provision from the Lord also then can bring along for you and me temptation. That seems to be maybe the crux of what Jesus is dealing with today. And part two, we might say, of our topic. The temptation that comes along with the blessings from the Lord. How easy is it for you and me when we have been blessed, when we have an abundance of one kind or another, to say, look what I've earned, rather than look at what God has graciously given me. A temptation to say, look at the fruit of my efforts, the hard work, the long hours, the labor that I have put in, and here is what I have reaped. Rather than recognizing that this result that has come, and maybe in part by yours or my work, that it's more than just me. That maybe others contributed for this result to happen. Or again, the Lord's gracious blessings. How often the temptation, when we have more than we need, especially for those of you who might be like me or others who are very future-looking and say, well, there's going to be a hard day coming. So I'm just going to hold some of this to the side to be ready. Wisdom. Good stewardship in those kinds of things, right? But is there also a temptation to hold on to what we've been given just purely for ourselves? Maybe with no sense of stewardship or wisdom in mind, but purely a temptation towards selfishness. Rather than our Heavenly Father, God has been generous to me. I have much more than I need because of His generosity, and so I will then, with this abundance, be generous to others. See, you and I are rich. We might be rich in financial terms. We might be rich in other ways, tangible or intangible. You and I have been blessed by God and can consider ourselves in one or many ways rich. And yet, it is very easy, very possible. There's a great temptation for you and I who have been made rich by God to not be rich toward God. It seems that the man coming to Jesus may wrestle with this. Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. There seems to be a lot for the taking. Whether this man's father has died and it's the right time for the inheritance to be passed on and divided, or there's some other situation going on, we're not sure. And yet, after Jesus' rhetorical question, then he speaks a word of encouragement, a word of warning, maybe a better word for it. Take care, be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. This man coming to Jesus maybe was already rich, maybe from this inheritance would be rich. And so it seems that Jesus, knowing something along these lines, speaks a parable about a rich man. The land of a rich man produced plentifully. Again, for you and me. For the person in the crowd coming to Jesus. Do we recognize that in one way or another this is true for us? Maybe your business has boomed. Maybe you have been blessed with an intelligent mind that can take in more and more, and you are rich in knowledge and understanding. Maybe you've been given a body that is rich in health. Or maybe you are rich in other ways. But you and I, again, in one or many ways, can acknowledge that, like the man in the parable, we are rich because of what God has given to us. And yet the temptation to forget the giver. The land of a rich man produced plentifully, and he thought to himself, "What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops." And although Jesus doesn't say this in the parable, I think there's a big pause here. "Ah, this is what I'll do," he thought. He pondered. Maybe it only took him a half second instead of my extended pause. Maybe he pondered and thought for a few days about the next best step forward. And yet we see his decision. "I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods." Is this bad? Not necessarily. There seems to be a bit of wisdom and stewardship, maybe, in the man's actions. Potentially, he's doing the wise thing for his land, for his business, you might say, and he's going to store for a time and then use these things wisely. The man continues, "I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.'" Is this statement and thought process and actions inherently bad or evil? I would argue not necessarily. Has God given us things to enjoy? Absolutely. Is it good and right for us to eat and drink and be merry and relax at times because of the blessings of God? I would argue, certainly. For some of you who maybe have entered retirement, are you feeling like the rich man? "Many years ahead now, I've put in the hard work, and now I'm on a different phase of life." Maybe so. But strikingly, we see God respond inside the parable here, not pleased with the rich man. "Fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be?" And the parable concludes, and yet Jesus speaks one more line of commentary, you might say, on his own parable. "So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." Certainly the rich man could have made different choices, and maybe other choices would have been better than the ones he made. But I think what Jesus' final statement gets at here, most importantly, is that it's not first and foremost about the actions themselves. It's about the heart behind the choices. Again, are bigger barns and relaxing and enjoying some of the blessings of God inherently bad? No. Is it wrong to be rich financially or in other ways? No. But do we forget who is the giver of these things? Then we've fallen to a dark place. Covetousness maybe has taken hold of us. A temptation that you and I have done this somehow on our own, or at a minimum, again, have forgotten who has given us these things. This rich man here seems to be laying up, as Jesus says, treasure for himself. He is not rich toward God, as Jesus says. So what's the real issue? Is the real issue purely what we choose to do with the things that God has given to us? not in and of itself. But rather, these things that we do, the way we respond with the blessings of God, flow from a heart issue. Another way of asking the question, what does it mean to be rich toward God when Jesus uses this statement? First and foremost, it is recognizing that our riches come from Him. Again, as we talked with last week, as we remember, this Heavenly Father has given you all that you and I need because He has given His very own Son, Jesus Christ. And even though we may not feel like we have all that we need here and now, even though there may be very real struggles and challenges that you and I still deal with here and now, because our Heavenly Father has given Jesus, because Jesus has died and risen again, because Jesus has come to make all things right and brought the kingdom of heaven to earth, whether you and I experience the fullness of that here and now, or we still have to wait a little longer for His return, we have all that we need for eternity. Some of that begins here and now with the forgiveness that we have been given, with the eternal life that we have been given, with the freedom and salvation from sin and evil and Satan. And yet we know there's still a more full time to come when Jesus returns. But let us not forget that you and I have been given all that we need in Jesus Christ. As Paul says it in 2 Corinthians, we have been made rich in Him. He says it this way in chapter 8, verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sake He became poor, so that you, by His poverty, might become rich. In and through Jesus Christ, we are rich, tangible and intangible, now and into eternity. This is the Heavenly Father's greatest gift to all of creation, His Son, Jesus Christ, and He has even gone above and beyond that in pouring out His Holy Spirit so that you and I know Him and cling to Him and look to Him. And yet the generous Father continues. But it starts with faith and trust in our Heavenly Father's good gifts that He has given. This is first and foremost in being rich toward God, and this seems to be what the rich man in the parable has forgotten. This likely seems to be what the man in the crowd coming to Jesus does either not know or also has forgotten. This is what can happen to you and me when we give in to temptation and coveting and love of money. We can forget the giver of good gifts. But remembering, believing and trusting in Him, we are rich toward God because He has been rich to us. And yet that then flows into what we do with the things that God has given to us. This flows into being generous as He has been generous. First, generous with this good news. You and I know it. You and I hear it. You and I remind each other of it, especially when a brother or sister is starting to forget. But there are those around us that do not know. There are others who have not heard. And so we need to be generous in that sense. We need to share in that sense the good news that you and I know of Jesus' death and resurrection. And along with that, sharing the other things that we have been rich in, that we have been blessed with. Maybe that is many of you who share your financial wealth, who share with others what you have been given financially. Maybe you help in time of need in that way. But maybe some of you are rich in other ways. Maybe you're not able to help with a check or a cash donation, but maybe you're able to help because you have been blessed with a healthy and rich body, and you're able to put in an extra hour of time or service here or there. And maybe you feel like you have neither of those, but rather you are able to go and speak words of comfort and care to someone who is hurting, someone who is suffering, someone who is despairing, because you are rich in hope and peace and joy, and you can share that with others. Do you see? You and I are rich beyond what we often remember and recognize. We have been given much by our gracious and generous Heavenly Father, and we have much to give others. Let us not forget. Let us return to, time in and time out, to the Father, the giver of all good gifts, so that then, trusting in Him, receiving from Him what He gives to us in abundance, we may share with others, those around us. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.